Hello, everyone. We are your hosts, Susan, Katie, and Jill. We are longtime educators who are here to share with you all things education. We want to inspire you, help you innovate, dream new visions, and best of all, make you laugh. The education field is not an easy one, but we do it because we love kids and we want the very best for them. Join us as we laugh, learn, and get schooled on KLED & Co. Hello, everybody. Welcome back to another episode of Get Schooled with Kale Education and Company. I have a very special guest with me today, Miss Aurora Meyer. Hi, Aurora.
Hi, Jill. Nice to be here.
I'm so glad you came.
I'm so glad.
We've known each other for a few years, and she is like all things PR, communication, websites, social media, all the things that I am not anywhere near good at. But you rock it all
Thank
the time. And so she's going to give us some great information today that you can take back and hopefully use wherever you are in your journey. But before we do that, Aurora, we always start with a funny story or like a lesson learned story or something from our education vault.
Education, I love right? it. Education vaults are big.
They're big.
They're full of stories.
Yes, they are.
So before I go too far, I do want to mention that I'm an accredited PR professional, which means I have passed a series of exams and tests and get to use the APR after my name, which is very exciting. It's a big accomplishment. And if you are ever in a position where you're looking for someone to fill a communication role and you have the opportunity to find someone with an APR, I highly recommend it. We've gone through a lot of training. We have a lot of ethics training. We're held to the highest standards of our profession, and it's a badge of honor. So I wanted to throw that out there. As for my story,
yes.
Okay. So I purposely started in K-12 education during the pandemic for a whole slew of reasons. I did that because I truly believe in public education. I believe in education in general. And I wholeheartedly realized that I missed working and telling the stories of students and families and schools to a wider community. My background is in journalism, so this really isn't such a surprise. But I will never forget one of the first calls I got. I think it was in 2021, and it was a very upset gentleman from our community. And he was very upset because it was probably fall. I really wish I could remember like when this was, but it was probably fall, and the kids were outside, and it wasn't recess. It was definitely not recess time. He was very adamant that it was not recess time. And these kids were just jumping up and down. And for the life of him, he could not figure out what was going on or what they were doing and why there was only one teacher out there. And he just did not think this is something that students should be doing. They should be inside learning in a classroom. You'll get different kinds when you get phone calls. And so I was able to figure out what school it was, and I made a couple of phone calls. Well, it turns out... it was kindergartners learning a number line. And if you are conceptualizing numbers and where they fit on a number line and what happens when you add one and take one away, what better way than to draw your own number line on the sidewalk and jump from number to number? Because then you're kinetically learning, you're figuring out where space is, where your body is in space. There's so many awesome things about this. And so what I was able to do is I was able to reach out to the teacher and I was able to learn about that lesson plan and what they were doing and then share that. And because we didn't catch the actual lesson plan, we didn't share it using video, but she had thankfully taken a couple of pictures and we were able to share that on our website. And it's those kinds of stories and those kinds of things that really bring me joy and make me happy because all it took was a tiny little bit of digging, but then I was able to share, hey, not only was it lesson and learning related, but here are the learning outcomes. And actually, this is kind of a cool thing that we do for children to learn about space and numbers and addition and subtraction in a way that is meaningful to them versus how I'm sure I learned it and maybe this gentleman learned it, and maybe my grandparents learned it. But it's different. And whenever I walk into schools and I'm there to do something for our television or cable access channel, or I'm doing something for the website or our newsletter that we mail out to our community, I always start by telling the kids, and it's cool till about third grade, but I tell them school is different and different is awesome. Like, this is so cool. I can only imagine the things I would have learned and the things I would have been comfortable with and accomplished if I could be in school today. If I could be learning these things as these students are learning them, I might have picked a completely different career path. I might have done something else completely different. And I'm super happy with where I am, but being able to share that and that different is awesome and that these kids are doing things at an early age that took us until high school to figure out. There are physics lessons and there are all kinds of advanced concepts that if you can master that in second grade, you're golden. It's going to be just a fact and something you know forever. And so being able to tell those stories in a way that brings it back to what was the objective? What was the learning objective? Did you accomplish it? What is the next step? I hope goes a little ways in sharing with the community that, yes, school might look a little different than when we were there. Yes, you can't just walk into a building and see the lessons like we used to be able to do. But there are plenty of ways to have insight into what's going on in your school community.
Yeah, that was great. And funny, because people like to swerve out of their lane quite frequently, really. And if it's a safety concern, you know, that's always great. Like, you want somebody checking in and, you know, whatever. But sometimes we do have to overly defend ourselves in education, which seems a little crazy, but also leads us into kind of what you do so well, right? So you're going to talk to us. I do want you to give your background. So, like, how you got to where you are. And I love that you explained, I didn't know what those letters meant. And I think, you know, in education, in any profession, really, like, there are codes that mean something. And most of us don't know those. Nope, and so if I was looking for a communication specialist, I mean, I wouldn't look at those letters and go, oh, I know what that means or how they can help me more than this person over there. So that was super helpful for me too. And I think we should do more of that. We don't often explain what it actually means. We're actually really bad about that.
We are. And what I realized, my background is in broadcast journalism. I worked in Columbia, and then I worked for a newspaper down in Cape Girardeau for a while. And then my husband and I moved to San Antonio, and I worked for the Fox TV station down there. And when we moved back to be closer to our families, I realized I didn't love newspaper and I didn't love television, but I didn't quite know if I was ready to give up journalism. And so I worked for the statewide radio network. And I learned how to hone my storytelling skills. I can ask people questions. I can make even children comfortable answering questions, which will serve me for the rest of my life. So I'm super grateful for my time in journalism, even though it ultimately wasn't a good career fit. After that, I worked for a physician recruiting firm for a few minutes to try to figure out what I wanted to be when I grew up. And at that point, I started working toward my post-bac certification because I do love teaching. My parents were teachers. I think teachers are vital in so many ways. There is nothing more rewarding than teaching someone how to do something and seeing them get it. One of my most recent favorite stories is one of my daughter's best friends was desperate to learn how to blow a bubble. You know, bubble gum, that's such a rite of childhood, but it's so hard. But I was able to teach it to her over about an hour, and she will never not know how to blow a bubble. Just like once you learn how to ride a bike, you're never not going to know how to ride a bike. And so it was worth it, and I loved the classes that I was taking. But an opportunity at a nonprofit education association, came open, and I couldn't have written a better job. It was right when social media was taking off for businesses. It was to develop and cultivate a community to work together and solve problems and do all the great things that a community does. And I loved it. I loved that job. I love the people I work with. I'm still close to many of them. And I learned a lot. They supported me in getting my APR. And I am grateful for them. And so when I got my APR, nonprofits are pretty small. So there's not really a lot of room for growth. And I was approached with an opportunity to work in a higher ed institution. And on paper, it looked great. It looked like it was the best fit. But once I got in, I really realized how much I missed K-12 and I missed that interaction. And so I came back for the district. But one of the first things I did at the association, because I needed to know, like I needed a handbook, is I went and found all of the jargon that I possibly could find that teachers and educators and school districts use. And I made a cheat sheet for myself, which turned into a blog post for the association. And I mean, I kept adding to it during my entire 9 years there because new things would come up. And I would want to remember what it meant because, you know, then you're kind of in. You're in the group if you know how to speak the language. Right.
That's
and
right.
So I've always been mindful of that is a way to include and exclude. And I like to err on the side of inclusion. And so I do a lot of level setting, a lot of definitions. When I sit down with people, I want to make sure we're using the same word to describe the same things. Because English is not a precise language. Sure. And I think that's really critical and important and something that is easy to do when you step back. So one of the tips that I give anybody I talk to is if you are communicating with your families, if you're communicating with your community in general, if you're communicating with any other of your core audiences, make sure you're taking a moment to not fall into your jargon and not fall into those acronyms that we all use until you've explained it. Once you've explained, in my case, what an APR is, then we can use that phrase moving forward and it means something. But otherwise, you're putting somebody a little bit on edge when you don't necessarily mean to because they're excluded from understanding what you're saying.
Yeah, that's a good way to say it. So in our world of social media, and so I, you know, when I was in college, email was brand new. Like, it was when, well, we still had to go to the computer lab at the library to get on this thing called email. No one was using the internet yet. And so then, like, you would write to your friend. I mean, we thought it was the coolest thing ever. Like, we could write a letter and we'd have to send it. And then it was like, it would have re, all the way across because you've responded to these people, you know, 20,000 times. And I just thought, oh my gosh, you know, it was revolutionary at the time.
It was, absolutely.
And so fast forward fairly quickly, then, you know, several things continue to evolve. And then we get into the social media part of life and schools and how they're going to communicate, right?
Yeah.
And so that could be a double-edged sword.
It is. It is. And what's different is so part of my work at the association was working with school districts that were working to establish their, at the time, Facebook pages. So if we want to rewind a little bit. Let's go back to 2010.
Right.
2010 is sort of around the time, 2008, 2009, 2010, when businesses and organizations were able to have a page on Facebook. An official Twitter account. Those were the two things,
those were the big
things at the time.
Yeah.
And I, at the time, advocated heavily for school districts, for school professionals to establish those pages. And if nothing else, if they weren't ready to what I reference as feeding the beast, if you weren't ready to do that yet, at least reserve your name.
Right.
At least reserve your school district or your classroom or whatever it is, reserve your name. That was super important. And then I would help develop a content plan for what to put. Yeah. Once you decided you were ready to start getting used to that space, we would go over what are the social norms that you need to know to operate? What are the possible pitfalls that you might run into? What are the amazing
really
things? Yeah, if you can be thoughtful about what you're doing.
I think that's what's scary for people. They worry, and I think especially now, they've seen the attacks that can happen.
Yep.
And so you're fearful of putting something out because you don't know what will happen, and then it's really hard to grab hold of.
It is. And in 2010, the world was different.
So
at that time, you could message somebody or respond to somebody and say, hey, I'm so sorry that happened. I would love to take this offline and assist you. And now, just how social has evolved, it's not that way anymore. And so now my recommendation is if you don't have it and you're not already feeding it, reserve your name, but maybe let it sit. Mm-hmm. So Columbia Public Schools is an unusual case in that before I worked here, I thought it was really weird that they didn't have an official district social channels. They didn't have it on any of them. And I came to realize that that was not only on purpose, but that by encouraging the schools to be the person or the middle person in conveying information to families, to groups, they were actually having far more success and far more support than they would have at a district level. And this is something that I'm working with a professor at the University of Oklahoma and a professor at the University of Florida on to do some research. Where does that breakdown occur? So we know families and communities really like their student's teacher. They really like their student's school. They trust the teacher. They trust the school. Often they really like and trust the principal. But once you get beyond that principal level, everything falls apart. And a lot of communities don't realize that at the district level, the admins are really just implementing things from the state level, from the legislature, from the Department of Education, from the federal government. It's all passed through, and they're responsible for implementing it. But I can't imagine that our Department of Education or legislators get as much input as the admin level does at the district. And so we're working on trying to figure out where that breakdown occurs so that we can better communicate in the future priorities. And if we're using a common language or we can figure out where that blockage is, then maybe we can work to get that lessened if we're lucky, or at least communicate better, which is one of the things that is always important. Right. So when we look at how to use your social channels in 2023, there are umpteen ways. I could not tell you how many ways there are. But one of the things that is going to be critical is thinking through your content planning and planning that ahead so that you're not scrambling to post something, having a plan in place for when comments go off the rails, having a plan in place for highlighting or exemplifying students and the voices and the things that really, really matter to you. And if you aren't sure, one of the things that I recommend is you look at your vision and mission statement, because your vision and mission statement is pretty cut and dry. So are you advocating for your students? Are you empowering your students? Are you showcasing learning at all levels? Whatever your vision and mission statement is, you can use that as a guide for your content. And if you are showcasing content in that way and you're training your families and your community to see that, hey, we're doing great things. We're going to be transparent as we can. We're going to share information as we're able to. You can hopefully build up some of those community members or family to go to bat for you,
right,
and to kind of shut down some of that stuff so that it's not always you. Social is just a different beast. It's 24/7. It does need monitoring. You probably are going to want to make sure that you've talked to your legal counsel in terms of how you have to archive things and how you want to preserve things. It's not forever. I can't imagine Facebook is going to be forever. It's ubiquitous now, but the demographics have shifted, as we've all seen. The demographics on any new platform is just going to change. And so being prepared to reserve your name on whatever comes up next does not mean you have to feed it. It doesn't mean you have to put content there, but reserving your name will be important. That way also, if, let's just say, an enterprising student or someone tries to make a fake account, no one is misconstruing that as the real account.
Right. Yeah, that's good advice. So if something does go awry, you put something out, completely good intentions, but, you know, for whatever reason, someone doesn't like it or someone misinterprets it, how do you fix that?
That's an excellent question.
And I know it's all like, it's always case dependent.
It is very case dependent.
It is.
And
are there some good like strategies though that you could use across the board to kind of, I don't know, just like pause it and take a minute to kind of rein it.
So yeah. I think that's where your code of conduct is going to come into play. And so a lot of schools and a lot of school districts and a lot of pages on various platforms have what we would call community standards. And you will, again, want to double check with your legal counsel. But if someone is violating those standards, then whatever the recourse that you've laid out in that agreement to participate in the conversation, that's what you should do and where you should go. It's so case dependent. It's so specific on, is this something that, you know, you might need for a future litigation? And it's just hard to give a blanket advice in that regard. The easy advice is to think through your content, think through any possible negative and positive that could come from it. Look and see if you can identify, like, maybe somebody just really dislikes this one classroom information, or maybe somebody really just dislikes the, I don't want to like name anything, but dislikes a specific thing. Maybe there's a trend here, and maybe there's a way then you could subtly showcase that in other ways. Right. So the number line example, that's math. And everyone's a little wary of what we've dubbed new math, which is weird because it's not new math. It's just math. But when you take time to share, hey, here are the learning objectives, here are the things that you're taking care of, here's what students are achieving and accomplishing, maybe there's a way to do something of that nature, and maybe it's not on social, maybe it's in a newsletter, maybe it's in a cable access channel, maybe it's in another way to underscore that, hey, this thing you think is super bad is actually really awesome.
Right. So what are some other ways, like if people are, you know, not wanting to do social, and we speak with a wide audience here. So we have public, we have private, we have micro schools. So if they don't want to jump on the social media bandwagon for whatever reason, because it does take a lot of time, if you're not a content expert, like we were not, we had to find someone to help us because we would sit for hours and be like, I don't know what to post. I have no idea what to post. And so you do have to have someone who kind of understands that whole world of documenting. And we were lucky to find some people early on that really helped us.
But not just that, but the social norms. So somebody who's going to stay up to date on, like, do you use hashtags on Facebook? Do you not? How do you check your stats?
Like, it changes so
all the time.
Much.
Yes.
So if they don't want to get into that world, or if they don't feel like they have the people around them that can really help them there, what are some other really great ways to communicate with your community, whether it be the public or whether it just be your families that you're working with or students, or, you know, what are some other good communication tools that they can use?
There's so many. Yeah. There's so many. So I know everyone's kind of on the newsletter bandwagon right now. And newsletters are great.
Sure.
They are excellent. They are an easy way to share information. You need to be consistent in them, and you need to make sure that you're sharing the information that people want and need. So newsletters are an excellent option. I will say I have never encountered a family that didn't want more.
Yeah.
That didn't want more, especially in elementary school, a lot in middle school, and to some extent in high school, didn't want more information about what is my student learning? How can I help them? How can I be supportive? How can I ease them into the next transition? How can I have insight into their day? How can I get
how
more?
Can I know them?
How can I know who they are at school? Because, you know, all of us are different in different situations, and so it's really dependent on where you are, and it can tell you a lot about what's going on. So I've not encountered families that don't want more, whether that's like a newsletter, a classroom newsletter, or just like a picture collage that's in a Google Drive that is accessible only to families. There's lots and lots of ways to share that insight. As for external, you know, if you're putting together a newsletter, and find some ways to highlight some great things that are going on, some great lessons, some great new things, or everybody loves buildings. Okay, so bond, if you've got a bond project or you've got a bond plan, show the steps. Like, it's so cool to see a new roof go on, or a new gym floor, or a new field house spring up from a literal field. And those are wonderful things to share with your community. I also would encourage people to start thinking about how to share things inside their internal community. Mm-hmm. So what I mean by that is, not everyone is going to be your biggest fan. Not all of your employees are going to be your biggest fan. But if you can give them positive talking points, then you can be a little bit more successful in driving the conversation in a direction where you want it to go. So we have a internal newsletter, and it is all the things that we do. I mean, we put a ton of content out all the time. And honestly, if you're not paying attention, you're going to miss a bunch of it. And if you're busy, like most of our people are, you're not going to see it. And so we put out a monthly newsletter that highlights the things that were important enough to make their way to our website, important enough to make their way to our cable access channel. And we get coverage. Most school districts get news coverage. And here in Columbia, we're a little unusual in that we have everything here. It's a lot of news coverage. Mm-hmm. When you're the only major in town, then that's kind of how it rolls. Yeah. But if you get a great newspaper story, and this is coming from a former newspaper person or a TV person, share that. I mean, you should absolutely be sharing those things with your internal. And if it's a good enough story, share it with your external audiences. Right. So find a way to reach people where they are, have the conversations that are important to them, get to know your core audiences. What's important to a group of realtors is going to be different than a group of grandparents. Sure. And different than a group of grandparents who are raising children in your district. Those are a super important and really, really relevant group of people who may need some extra support, who may not know how to navigate some things. And so in the news industry, we always say that you write to a third grade level. And in some cases, that's true. But instead of thinking of writing to a third grade level or sharing information at a third grade level, think about sharing information so that someone who has never encountered you would be able to do the thing, and that people who have encountered you know what it is you're asking. Yeah. So don't be afraid to ask for things. You know, ask for people to test something. Right. Nobody is more excited than when they can find typos and mistakes and all kinds of things. And so I have been lucky in that a couple of times when I've had the opportunity to do that, I've been able to say, hey, I know I've made a typo. Like, I can say that was my fault and I'm fixing it. Or if we've done a big, big project and your eyes are just blurry from looking at it so much, having somebody else take a look at it or enticing them with a reward to look at it. You find a mistake on our brand new website, not my current job, but a previous job. You find a mistake, you're entered to win a $20 Amazon gift card. Great. We found all kinds of things that we wouldn't have found otherwise, because sometimes you just need that extra help. And then, you know, maybe that person is like, wow, they asked for my help. Now, on the flip side, if your community thinks you're maybe full of mistakes and does not want, they would use that as leverage in the future, maybe don't do that. If you know your community well, then you can find the things that drive them and motivate them.
Yeah, that's great. So last question. As you were talking about, you know, figuring out how to write it on the level that everyone understands it, and I think when you've been doing it as long as some of us have been doing it, it's really hard to remember how to even break it down into simple steps. So ChatGPT is a new tool out there. Mm-hmm. And so as you were talking about that, I was thinking that's one way. You know, you can put it in and say, make this understandable for someone who does not understand any of this content.
Or English,
right. So what are your thoughts on how all of these new AI tools coming out are going to change the game?
So I love them.
Uh-huh. Me too. I know. I'm a huge fan.
I think that at some point in human history, we probably looked at a wheel and we're like, I don't know.
Not so sure.
I don't know. I don't know how I feel about this. Or you know, if you look back at Henry Ford and the adoption of the automobile, this is
very radical.
Very radical. Yeah. And we have seen a ton of radical change in our lifetimes.
Very quickly.
Technology has exponentially quickened that change, right, which is awesome. But we have to remember these things are tools.
Exactly.
And if you use a tool appropriately, right, you're going to have a better outcome than if you, you know, are trying to pound a nail in with a screwdriver.
Right.
It just isn't going to work.
Right.
So there are a lot of ways to use ChatGPT or Bard, which is another one, or any of the other
or
ones.
Or any
that are
AI
out.
Tool. Like there's, I've been making lists of all the ways that you can make things more efficient from a teacher point of view.
Yes,
you know,
absolutely.
That will, I think, revolutionize teaching in a lot of ways. You know, things that were very difficult for us to find or took hours to make, like there are going to be some ways that perhaps we can do that in a way that makes our job just a little more efficient.
Yeah. So there are a couple of caveats before we delve too far into this. Always, always, always adhere to your board policy. Yes, board policy might be, or your governance documents or whatever they are, they might be a little outdated. They might not mention ChatGPT.
For sure. I've
and it's going to take some time.
Yes. A lot of people have been posting updates that they've been putting in. Yeah.
Your board policy or your governance documents are going to give you some insight in how you should and should not use the tool. So that's kind of a general thing. The other thing to remember is that it is a tool. It is imperfect. And so if you are someone who struggles with looking at a blank sheet of paper, or like you did with content, like what do I even share? How do I convey the feeling of what it's like to be a member of our school or school district or our classroom when you just have this blank sheet of paper in front of you? It can be daunting. And so using, you know, ChatGPT or Bard or any of the other AI tools that are available to take that blank apprehension out is good. But as if you have used it at all, you will know that you do have to go backwards.
You have to feed it the right information,
number one.
Yes.
But number two, you have to go back and look at what it has provided for you and edit it. And it is a tool. And it is a tool that if we learn to use appropriately and wisely and consciously, then that's all it is. It's just a tool. It's just a starting point. Now, are we going to end up getting into some copyright issues and some of those other things? Absolutely. But I will say that we have really, really smart people doing really, really smart things, and that we'll get there.
Yeah.
We have to also hope for humanity that we don't use all of these things for nefarious purposes. Right. But, you know, maybe those of us that are using it for good, maybe we'll outweigh that and it'll just be a thing.
It's just crazy. I mean, if you've lived long enough, like all these cycles come around. So like for me, I feel like it's 1995 again. And like the email thing was brand new. And now the ChatGPT is brand new. Like there's always going to be that, okay, here's the next thing. And I don't think it's wise to shy away from it. I think that we've learned in education that's not the right thing to do. Like, you're not going to be able to ban everything, right? So stop it. Just stop it. Stop having the conversations about it. But how do you use it well? How do you teach children from a very young age how to use it well instead of being afraid of the things that are coming? Like, let's be adults about it and figure out how to really make this work, you know?
There was a... not in our district. It was in a friend of mine's district, and it was actually my friend's daughter. So I'm totally telling this tale out of school. But I think it's really brilliant. So she's a sophomore, and she's an AP student in AP English. And her AP teacher said, okay, I'm gonna have you draw out of this bucket. And drawing out of the bucket was, you know, write a synopsis or an analysis of Romeo and Juliet. And one was use ChatGPT to do a synopsis or an analysis. And you were not to tell anybody what you got. And then they read them and presented them. And the students voted on who they thought did what. And that was more to showcase that this is a tool.
It's a tool.
And she was very clear, though. The teacher said, don't change it, as I have recommended. Just leave it as is.
Yeah.
And now, the students that actually had to write their own, they did have a formula, so it wasn't a completely unfair assignment. But that's all it is. It's a tool. And if you can get your students to realize it's a tool, it's an imperfect tool, and it's a tool that if you don't put the right inputs in, it's that garbage in, garbage out, then you're going to be not as successful as you otherwise could be. And I think that that's a really interesting way to make this big, scary thing real and in a way that is understandable and to students. Sometimes I wish we could do like, hey, all adults.
Yeah.
Let's have a real quick lesson on how to be following social norms right. in a space, or how to not be like cringy on other stuff.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. My son tells me I'm cringy all the time.
Mm-hmm. It's a goal. Wear it like a badge of honor.
I know.
It means you have a prefrontal cortex.
Right. Exactly. He doesn't really see the humor in that yet, but someday he will, right? Yeah. Thank you so much. This has been so great.
You're so welcome.
It's so great. And I know that communication and how to do it and social media, that's very daunting for multiple people, multiple districts, or someone starting a school or someone in a private school. These are things that are difficult and, frankly, we're not trained for. You know, it's not part of your education curriculum, turns out, when you go through the degree program, no matter which degree you get. Those things are not generally talked about. So we rely on experts like yourself to come in and help. And I think that people should also hear, go to the experts. You
Absolutely.
Know, like,
I mean,
just go to the experts.
Isn't that what we
right.
Educators?
Absolutely.
Like, our
Use
classroom teachers
resources.
Are the educators,
Absolutely.
Are the Let experts.
Them the
Let them be the expert.
Yes.
And I think it's really important to recognize that you don't have to be great at
you
everything.
Don't. You don't.
You don't.
And you just have to know the right people.
You just have to ask questions.
Yeah.
And if you want help figuring out what a content calendar looks like, I think we're going to work on a workshop.
Yeah.
But it doesn't have to be terrifying, and you don't have to feel like it's overwhelming, because there's a ton of resources out there and there's a ton of help if you just are willing to ask for it. Yeah. Asking for help is not a sign of weakness.
No, it is not. It's a sign of strength, in my opinion. I think you're smart enough to use your resources wisely.
I agree.
So if someone were looking to how to find you, how would
so,
they find you?
So they can follow me on LinkedIn. I'll make sure you have the link to my LinkedIn profile. I'm not super active on Twitter anymore. I'm sure you can guess why.
Yeah.
But through Jill. You can reach me through Jill.
Yeah, absolutely. So Aurora Meyer, thank you. We appreciate you. Yes. And everybody, thanks for another great episode. We'll see you back soon.